Generation X, laughing at the world today. We're getting older, but we're still gonna play.
Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. Speaking of colons, I had a colonoscopy last week. Everything seemed to go okay. It caused me to grow a mustache.
Yeah, what is going on with this?
I shaved the other day, and I forgot to shave this part. I'm like, I'll just leave it. And, you know, universally unwelcomed in my home, and even the dog hates it.
Yeah, it's very creepy.
That's the look I'm going for. It is almost
nailed it. 70s porny.
Can't look that which you are not. Yeah, gosh, why can't you talk about certain things on YouTube anymore? It's ending up like TikTok these days, where if you say anything, like I posted a TikTok that I thought was funny yesterday, didn't get any views. Sorry, Dustin, I should stop saying the F word.
Was that the Sprite thing?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was real for like the first 10 seconds.
I made a comment on somebody else's TikTok, and then I made the video of that and had AI make a jingle. So maybe that's what happened. I don't know, because Nutter Butter is trending on TikTok right now. Because have you guys seen their TikTok page?
No.
Yeah.
Is it demure?
Take a minute.
Take a minute. Yeah.
And just look at it.
Yes. It makes those Quiznos ads from the early 2000s look normal. Do you remember those old?
We love these songs. There was a special prize.
With those little creatures.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because with the good.
Yeah. And that came out of like these guys online doing these flash videos of we are the space people and we are from space, blah, blah, blah. And that became the thing, the Quiznos ad. But this is sort of like the Quiznos ad, but for 2024 and the TikTok era. And it's just insane. So everybody's posting on TikTok. Are you okay, Nutter Butter? And so I used all the right hashtags and everything. Didn't get anything. So I'm just not doing it right. Nobody likes me on TikTok.
You can just revel in it when it's banned in January and all these people lose their income.
Isn't that great? And probably 90% of the people that are making money off of there are going to vote for the people that want to ban it.
Sure. So. Do you think they're going to vote? I mean, come on.
I don't have time. I have to make a TikTok. Here I am voting. Oh, you're not allowed to take that phone in there with you. That's not fair.
I was going to vote demure.
I was going to vote demure because now that brat summer's over and I want to spread joy, it's time to vote demurely. Nah. But the good news is that Tulsi King is back. Okay, I haven't seen anything that you can tell was shot in Atlanta, but you know all the exteriors are shot in Tulsa, but they moved the production here, right, to shoot on the same stage.
Yeah, it's got the Georgia thing on the end now.
Yeah. But I thought it was a good episode. I hadn't realized it had been over a year since it aired. That's how fast shit's going these days.
Yep.
But did everybody watch it?
Yeah.
Steph?
No.
No, did you watch the first season?
No, it wasn't. Remember, you guys made fun of me about it. I'm not a cop. Oh. I just wasn't a fan of it. Didn't do it for me.
Why not? I mean,
Watch it for Martin Starr alone. He's awesome on there.
Yes, he is. Who's Martin Starr?
The guy that owns the weed shop.
Oh, that guy? Yeah.
I do love him.
And this episode, they're introducing new bad guys that Stallone's going to have to go up against. And there wasn't enough Andrea Savage, but we'll see. I enjoyed it. I've yet to watch Old Man. Has that begun yet?
Yep. Two episodes, I think.
Yeah, I don't like that. Just dump one. Come on. Give us some time.
Couldn't they call both shows Old Man?
Yeah, they're both Old Man.
Old Man and Older Man.
Alex Shawcross should get a fucking Emmy, though, for her performance in the first two of the Old Man.
She's great last season, too.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about the Emmys, by the way. Some glaring oversights or things that happened. I didn't watch it. I don't really care. But the show that I don't know if I talked about it last week. I guess I hadn't started watching it yet, had I? Jeff and Steph, I don't know, Dustin, do you watch this? You guys all watching Bad Monkey?
Yeah.
Yes, I haven't finished it yet, though.
Love it.
I can't get involved in this.
You're the one that got me involved.
Oh, you want to stop being polite and start getting real?
Is that the intro to The Real World?
In my defense, I thought you were too young to know
that. Get your job back. I've got something that the sheriff wants you to drive to Miami.
The arm? That's all they found?
Nah, man, the head's in the passenger seat.
If you're too grouchy to answer the question, just say I'm too grouchy to answer the question. You have to hit me with the head in the passenger seat.
I just said, all right, I'm done with my Game of Thrones experiment. And let's see, Jeff's talking about this show. Everybody on Radio Labyrinth's talking about this show. I'll watch the first episode. I was hooked immediately. And then I blew through two. And then the next night I just finished it because it's so good. And I'm like, this is how you do a show when you have one of everything. Every box is checked. Every box is checked. You know, like Amazon will make a show, but they'll make sure that you know about it. But this is how you do a show about people from all walks of life interacting and having things going on. I love the story that's taking place in, is it the Bahamas or Jamaica?
Yeah. The Bahamas.
The story that's going on in the Bahamas is amazing. The story that's going on in Miami is amazing, and in the Keys. And it's a fun show. And now I got to read the book, right? It's Carl Hiaasen. Is it a series of books? Is it
there's
Carl?
There's two books with the Yancey character so far.
Okay. I used to like Carl Hiaasen books. I guess these must be relatively new, or I just don't read anymore. But those are that's a good show. And then, of course, I'm dipping in and out of The Shield when I can, which Steph got me into. So it's not just doom scrolling and watching old stuff on YouTube. There's plenty of that. But I'm making time. And I owe it all to you guys.
Yeah, Bad Monkey's a fun show. And I love the setting.
And Jeff was right. It is like a modern-day Fletch.
It is, kind of.
Yeah.
Fletch wasn't that, but you know.
No, he was a lot.
Yeah, he's got a little more patter, but... The character's like got the same kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm. And I love that that actress that's in it.
The coroner.
She's hot.
So you got Vince Vaughn, of course, is Andrew Yancey. Natalie Martinez is Rosa. Michelle Monaghan is Bonnie Witt. Meredith Hagner is Eve Stripling. She's so good. She's going to get an Emmy.
Yeah, she was great on The Search Party. Loved her on there.
Rob Delaney is funny as Christopher. Zach Braff. Knocking it out of the park. Scott Glenn. Everybody's good. So whoever made this show, congratulations. Good job.
Bill Lawrence from Scrubs.
Okay.
Guy that made Scrubs. That's why Zach Braff's in it.
I was going to say that's why Braff's in it for sure.
And that's why his daughter is in it. His daughter's playing the daughter of Rob Delaney.
So that's pretty much where I am on TV right now. We can talk a little bit about the Emmys. I don't know who watched it. I don't watch those shows anymore.
I didn't watch it.
I do look to see who won. And I have a question, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure there's tons of videos about this. But why is The Bear a comedy, and why does it take away from real comedies and win all these awards? I know it deserves them. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, why is The Bear a show that wins all these comedy Emmys and takes away from, you know, real
comedy? They asked that question in the opening monologue, and they said...
The Bear is nominated for 23 Emmys tonight. Some of you might be expecting us to make a joke about whether The Bear is really a comedy. But in the true spirit of The Bear, we will not be making any jokes.
Yeah, I don't get it. Especially this last season, it was very comedy light. It was a lot more heavy on the drama this last season. So
it's always been a drama.
Yeah.
It just wasn't as silly this last season. Yeah. It was real serious. And I didn't realize that was based on that the real chef, that Charlie dude in Chicago.
Yeah, he's a real guy.
And there's a documentary of him on Netflix called Love Charlie. And everything about The Bear is based on this guy. So when you see all of his backstory, and I mean, he kind of like set the tone for fine dining in the Chicago area. And his life was, obviously tragic, blah, blah, blah. But it was very good. So I highly recommend it. Love Charlie.
Jean Smart won, so I'm happy about that. She deserves it. She's a great actress, and that show is very, very funny. I think that Fargo got overlooked.
Yeah.
And this season of Fargo is probably the best one since season two, to me. The best season since season two.
It got robbed by Baby Reindeer winning everything.
Yeah, and Baby Reindeer was good, but I didn't think it was on the same level.
No, it wasn't as good as this last season of Fargo.
And Juno Temple, that the character that she played, all the levels and all the dimensions and all the shit she had to go through throughout the entire season, she deserved it.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Although Baby Reindeer was good, it's just like, okay.
Well, it seems to be one of those kind of flash in the pan Netflix.
Yeah, I think because everybody watched it.
Everybody watched Tiger King, but that didn't win any Emmy.
Yeah.
Watching it for different reasons.
Yeah, I know.
News, trailers, and friends with Steph.
Well, in news that we care about, that's pretty cool, is we are all obsessed with Tim Robinson. We love him so much. And he's getting his own series on HBO called The Chair Company, and I can't wait for it. They don't have a release date for it just yet, but it obviously is going to be kooky and zany.
And about chairs.
And about chairs, basically.
And it's HBO, so they won't cancel it after two seasons or one season.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
we brought this up a couple of months ago when we found out he was getting a new show. But what we didn't know to this point, HBO bought it. So.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. So it's done. It just needs to be released.
Yeah. It's been picked. It's kind of like Tires. It was kind of already set up and they just gave him the money and were able to put it together. But I know it's supposed to be kind of like an office situation as far as like a documentary crew following him around.
Speaking of The Office, did you guys see the trailer for The Office Australia?
No.
That's the female-led one, right?
Regardless of that, it looks terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't using that as a pivot point.
No, I know you weren't. I would do that, but you would.
I'm promoting you to productivity manager.
Yes, sir. Do I want to support the vision of my branch manager? At all costs.
Is this the dark web?
No, it's not the dark web. Is that Lizzie?
Okay.
But, I watched it and it didn't grab me. Although I got tired of The Office after a while. Certainly when
Michael left.
Yeah, when he left, it just wasn't my thing anymore. But
It wasn't anybody's thing anymore.
It limped on for two seasons or just one?
Yeah, two more.
Two more seasons. Yeah, it wasn't my deal. I still like to watch it when I can. You know, if I see it on, I'll watch it. But, well, I mean, I can go watch it anywhere. But it did not look interesting to me. But this does, The Chair Company. And also, he said last week on social media, someone reported that he is open to doing another season of I Think You Should Leave.
Well, I wish he would. I think he
would. Yeah, I'm sure Netflix will give him whatever money he wants for it.
Well, this show co-stars Lake Bell, and I love her.
Yeah, her too.
Yeah, she's good.
So it has all the ingredients of something that we'll enjoy.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be great. This is going to be just perfect for him. What do you guys think about these driverless Ubers that are coming to Atlanta?
Never getting in one. I saw that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Total Recall, and when in the driverless taxi.
The Johnny Cab.
You're in a Johnny Cab.
I mean, what am I doing here?
The door opened. You got in. Hell of a day, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's not going to be a robot up front having, you know, silly banter with you.
Yeah. That's the only reason to ride in one, because you don't want to talk to anybody.
Is this different from the autonomous vehicles they're putting in at the airport?
It is, but these are the Waymo vehicles that they already are running out in L.A., San Francisco, Phoenix.
Okay, so they're cars.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Waymo is partnering with Uber.
Have you seen this parking lot in L.A. where they have those cars?
That was like great.
Two or three in the morning, they're all honking at each other.
Uh-huh. They can't
the people
around.
That live nearby are like, shut up.
There's a couple of reasons I'm not interested in this. One, I don't feel safe without a driver. I know your driver could be drunk, stoned, having a bad day, want to kill everybody in the car because they just hate people. But, I'm an optimist. There's two things. The not having a driver, and also it's another corporation taking a job away from somebody. So where's the side hustles that these people have built? You know what I mean? It's already that when it first started, Uber was making money for people that were driving for them. People were getting their own car and paying it off. And now I don't think they get anything. They don't make good money. It's just something to do to you know, earn a little bit of extra scratch. But, you know, just this automation of everything. What are people going to do for a side hustle? You know, so that's another reason. But I guess if that's the future.
Start stealing catalytic converters off all these driverless cars.
Well, they're not going to have them because I'm sure they're going to be electric cars.
Yeah.
All right. So steal the lithium ion battery.
Yeah, steal the computer.
Yeah.
Catalytic converter weighs about 12 pounds. Lithium battery weighs about 400 pounds.
Yes, and don't crash into a house if you have a lithium ion battery in your car.
Unless you bail out first.
Yeah, well, you're not going to be able to, Anne Heche. I'm sorry.
Well, if it's, you don't think it'll be safer, though, honestly?
If they were
not until, yes.
And when every car is a driverless car, then it'll be safer.
Right.
Yeah. At least you can flip them off and not get shot at.
Oh my God. You know, let me just tell you briefly, 2 weeks ago, this girl, she pulls up beside of me in the turn lane, but she jukes over in front of me when the light turns green. You know, one of those where she doesn't want to wait in the line. This was 2 weeks ago. Well, I road raged. I chased her down. I mean, it was like, I was like, get a hold of yourself. So.
Beat the living shit out of her with a baseball bat.
It was it was very intense. I was so pissed. So this morning, I'm at that same light. It was like in a movie. It was like Better Off Dead. She pulls up beside of me again in her brand new S-Class. And
that's
Fanny
Twain.
She puts right up beside me. And look.
This is Beef, the plot of Beef 2 on Netflix.
Yeah. Listen, she puts her signal on this time, like, I'm going to cut over in front of you again, bitch, basically. Mm-hmm. And I started honking because we were both sitting there at the red light. I started honking and she turned around and I was like, are you fucking serious? And she goes, mm-hmm, and turns her head back around. And I guess she knew that I was going to fight for everything to get in front of her. And she looks both ways and just ran the red light. And I was like, oh, my God, I hope you die. I hope you die. And
entitled people, man. Oh my God.
I was trying so hard to get up behind her. And I just was hoping like she'd be in a ball of flames up down the road. But she was gone.
The rules don't apply to her because she's rich.
That's what I'm thinking that she thinks. Yes, it does. It just makes you wish you were dead. But anyway, Jane's addiction. You guys saw that video.
Yeah, I saw the video.
Fight, the grandpa fight.
Oh, God.
I saw Dave Navarro's apology, too.
Why did he apologize? He didn't do anything.
Well, because the tour got canceled.
Well, yeah, okay, that makes sense. That tracks. I thought you said, I was assuming that he apologized to Perry Farrell.
No, he apologized to the fans for the tour getting canceled.
Yeah, that does suck. But it's all Perry Farrell's fault.
Is he just like, is he on drugs? Is he just crazy or what happened?
He's drinking again or whatever.
Yeah, plus when you're in a band and you're the lead singer, you're the only person that's limited when the band gets 50, 60 years old. Everybody else, you play guitar, you can sound exactly the same. Play drums, bass, but the singer is always going to be different, and you're going to lose your voice, plus all the drugs and everything else he did, which he's talked about, has destroyed his voice. He was having trouble remembering words to songs, and so the band was compensating for it by cranking up louder on stage to the point that Perry couldn't hear himself yell. Mm-hmm. And that was why he confronted him. You could tell. I mean, just the way he started that song, and he couldn't hear the changes because the guitar was probably blaring in his ear.
Well, I'd read that he has a tendency to start going on soliloquies in the middle of the songs and ranting about things, and that they had sped it up and made it louder, sped it up so they could get to the point where he had to actually sing the lyrics instead of babbling.
Yeah.
So that might have been something else, too. But what you told me actually makes more sense. I met him one time in 2007. It was the final 99X big day out before the station got ditched. And I was working there, so I was able to go backstage. And he walked by me and he looked at me and went, hey, what's up, man?
He's a real friendly guy.
He was super friendly. Yeah. Very, very tiny.
Yeah, and very small and quiet.
Yeah, very wiry. But he was really, really friendly. And then he went into a room with all the muckety mucks from 99X, and they closed the door. And I was just standing there, and I had to pull my pants up.
All the little rumors about Goonies 2 maybe gonna happen. The cast says that is some baloney. That is not gonna happen.
That's a movie that does not need a sequel. We're not wondering what happened to everybody.
No.
Who's gonna go see that except for older millennials and Gen Xers?
But there's gonna be a show called Our Time. Based on the Goonies, that is going to be coming out.
Yeah.
Our Time. What's that? A documentary, or is it a real? Is it in the same universe?
I'm not sure if it's a. According to the article, it doesn't really say if it's a documentary or not. I'm thinking that it is, but it's called Our Time. You know, because it's our time down here.
Because it's their time up there. Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Well, I don't know. You know what? The first Goonies movie was good enough.
Yeah. I read the story and I just, all I could think about was the future of Snowpiercer. You know how everybody eats those little nutrition cubes?
Oh, the gel bars.
Yes, because, you know, malnutrition in Africa has not gotten better, you know, since apartheid and since all that. And it hasn't really gotten that much better. And now as the climate worsens, it's getting even harder to find enough food. So the government, I guess, is making these fortified bouillon cubes for the people. So, you know, if you've got just like some water and a couple of, I don't know, old leaves, you can throw it in a pot. And then put one of these bouillon cubes in there, and you'll have at least enough protein and vitamins to keep you alive. You won't be happy or full or enjoy yourself.
Right.
But there'll be enough to keep you alive, much like it is in Snowpiercer.
Still hot.
Wow. And there's your food. There's your protein blocks. Oh.
I don't know. They did not mention where the protein.
Yeah, the fortified portion.
Yeah. They didn't say.
The fortified, the first person is Swahili for cockroach.
Yeah.
The first person that ate one turned into a blueberry, though, so they're still working on it.
Well, you know, I'd rather turn into a blueberry than a fly or a or whatever the hell they turn into in District 9.
Really, you come in there like, hey, Ma. He's taking all the cubes. He's cut all the cubes.
Oh,
this could have saved Sally Struthers like an entire career.
Happy birthday.
Well, I don't know how much longer old Diddy Combs is going to be hanging on. Oh, you know, he'll
be hanging
on to something. Well, he got arrested Monday.
The roof of his jail cell.
Yep.
They unsealed the indictment and, oh, God, he's getting charged with racketeering, sex trafficking, arson,
baby oil hoarding.
You name it. Yes, from all of his freak offs that he had. I mean, I think he's going to be definitely over R. Kelly. It seems that he's going to beat him.
No, but the daddy parties without having a freak off, and I'm allergic to baby oil.
Cat wasn't lying when he said that it was all going to come out this year.
Oh, it'll all come out, and there's even more because it goes all the way up to Jay-Z and Beyonce, and they're going to get theirs as well.
That's what you're hearing. I don't know that that's true, of course, but there has to be people. I saw a story today that, what's her name? J-Lo was involved in some of these parties. So you got that going through your head when you're Ben Affleck. I know he loves J-Lo. He can't quit J-Lo. He's been with her twice and quit her twice.
Well, that's what Suge Knight says anyway on his podcast.
Yeah, that's who it was, right?
Yeah.
That you imagine that in your head. It's Diddy and then, you know, all the clowns and people that he pays to come and have sex there. But there, I would love to know who's on some of those tapes.
The stars of the Bad Boy Records.
Yes.
Coming through on the tour. Now, what's funny, I think, is if you think about now the FBI, when they went in and found all of these tapes, in order for them to prosecute, don't they have to let every person that's in those tapes know that they have those tapes?
I imagine so.
So they did.
If about a month ago they take the tapes to Ben Affleck and J-Lo to let them know that they're there and Ben Affleck does see them and all of a sudden their marriage falls apart again.
That's a good theory.
That's what Shook says.
That's a great theory. As the young people say,
It does. Well, and the fact that they are possibly going to be reexamining the shooting that took place in the nightclub years ago with J-Lo and that one guy, Shine, the rapper Shine, he's the one who ended up going away for it. They pinned it on him. But, you know, there's, you know, long since that he paid people off in order for Shine to take the fall for that. So anyway, bye, Diddy. I think he killed everybody, you know, as far as like he definitely had a hand in the B.I.G. and probably Tupac, so he's going to get what he deserves.
Wait till they find out who he killed. He killed almost everybody. He killed JFK Jr. He wasn't even super famous yet.
Speaking of which, I didn't see the story in here, but the guy that did the interview with
Cat Williams.
Yes.
Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp. Did you guys see his Instagram live?
When he got hacked?
He didn't
supposedly
get hacked.
Yeah.
No, he didn't get hacked.
That shit came on in his pocket. And I know it did. Stayed on.
What was it he said? Say my name. Is that what he said?
He goes, you better spread them legs.
Yeah, that's right. You better spread them legs.
Well, my friend told me, she said that a lot of people are saying he leaked that because there's a lot of rumors going around about that he is homosexual.
That was a beard video.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's super good looking. I mean, this guy is like an Adonis. He's super good looking. Shannon Sharp? He's a handsome guy. And he has.
No. No, he's not.
Okay.
He looks like a horse.
But he can compliment you on your shoes. I guarantee you that.
He has a horse face.
All right. That's nice. That's nice. But I think he is a very handsome man. He's very rugged. He has defined features. He wears good clothes. He has a nice chin. He's very chiseled.
All right, guy.
I used to see him at the gym in Buckhead that I would go to. He would work out there. It was called Jeans Body Tech. And my old coworker, Southside Steve, worked out there. So I was able to go down there, and there was Shannon Sharp all the time. And he was so nice.
Okay, that's the gayest thing I've ever heard. And I shampooed dogs in West Hollywood.
And that's how we developed the characters that Larry Wax and I would do on the Regular Guys show, where he would be Shannon Sharp and I would be Barney Frank for some reason, that congressman from Massachusetts that's long since retired.
But you two would be together in the locker room naked.
Well, yeah, but the whole premise was Shannon didn't know that Barney Frank was gay. They were just best friends. And it just made Steve uncomfortable. And I think Shannon knew about that, too. And he just, well, whatever, I don't care.
That does track, Steph, because did you see what Shannon Sharp posted when everyone found out about it? He said the first text that he got was from Cat Williams.
Oh, really?
All it said was, you ain't gay today.
There you go. Are you guys excited about this new Alien TV show that Noah Hawley's putting together?
Anything Noah Hawley does, I'm in.
Well, there's going to be a new xenomorph breed in this. And this is going to take place 30 years before the first Alien movie, but a few years after Prometheus.
Okay.
But it's Earth in the future.
That would make sense because the company already knows that the ship, what it is when they get the signal.
Yes, and that's what they're really going to be examining. Like, there's going to be a lot of the Weyland stuff going on. Like, they're all working at Weyland and, you know.
That'll make sense. A Weyland show, yeah.
One's going to have three mouths?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. He's teasing. He's teasing us about it. So I'm assuming that there'll probably be various different, like, what did they talk about? Like an alien dog, like a xenomorph dog.
So when they do this, though, they end up creating things that don't exist in the movies that take place after it in the timeline. That's what always bothers me about these things.
Yeah. And then they don't consider any of the Alien versus Predator stuff canon.
Well, of course not.
So that's, you know, that throws them. I mean, they were already on Earth at that point and had been probably before us. So, yeah.
All right.
Well, and the last thing I just wanted to talk about was, have you guys watched that badass trailer for that Salem's Lot movie on Max?
Yeah. No, not yet.
Yeah.
I'll
send it to you.
Well, I didn't watch it.
Oh, you got to watch the trailer.
Watch everything.
It looks so good. I cannot wait for this movie.
They used to tell us stories about this place.
You have no idea what you're getting yourself into here.
Yeah, it looks too good. It looks so good. I'm really concerned that why they didn't send it to the theater. Why are they
right.
Wouldn't do
right.
well?
Gordon Lightfoot's rolling over and floating out of his grave up to your window with his bright eyes.
Yeah.
It looks scary. It, like, what they've done is they took what scared the crap out of me as a kid. Now when I watch Salem's Light, you know, it's very campy now when you watch it as an adult. But they've updated it for adults to make it just as scary as it was when you were a kid.
Yeah. And that is stuff in it that wasn't in the book. I remember that was in the book that wasn't in the original.
Well, hopefully they explore the priest a little bit more because, you know, he's hardly in the movie at all, the original TV movie. Hardly his story is mentioned, very little. Yeah. And then you get to know more about Per Callahan later on if you're into the Dark Tower series, especially Wolves of the Kala and after that. Yeah. But that movie scared the living shit out of me for a long time. Anytime I thought about that kid scratching at the window, that freaked me the fuck out. And then I read the book. So I would say that I'm not scared by a lot of things, but that movie and the book are the two scariest Stephen King things I've ever seen or read.
I'd agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was before he started getting into drugs that made him write like a lunatic in the 80s. I mean, I love all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that this was such a well-done story and very well-written. And, of course, the only thing I'm going to be missing in this new movie is James Mason not being in it.
Oh, of course.
And they got the guy from Game of Thrones is the James Mason character.
Let's move the ashtrays. Let me show you how. Do you know how to move ashtrays around an antique store? All right. Thank you, Steph.
You're welcome.
Let's go back to September 21st of 1983. Tim Andrews was 12 and Jeff had yet, or maybe had just turned 14. Right, Jeff?
Yep.
The number one song in the country was Tell Her About It, Billy Joel from An Innocent Man. The number one movie, baby boomer jack-off film, The Big Chill. Kevin Costner's in it, but he's in a coffin. On television, people were watching Dallas, Dynasty, and The A-Team with Mr. T. What a terrific actor he was. And, as always, happy birthday to Edwin Bernard Capra III, also known as The Granny Killer. The Granny Killer was an American serial killer, an arsonist, who committed six murders in Tampa in Hernando County, Florida, from 1991 to 1993, with the majority of his victims being elderly women. Convicted for two of the killings and sentenced to death, he and another inmate were stabbed to death during a dispute in prison. So everything worked out. Happy birthday, Edwin.
Dipping into the podcast universe. It was a slow week for me. I'll just blow through what I listen to. I listen to Harland every week. This week it was that guy, what's his name, from Brian Callen, who, when you bring up Brian Callen or I see Brian Callen, I just think of Mad TV, even though that was 30 years ago. And he's done a lot since then.
He was on The Middle.
Yeah, and he got in a little bit of trouble, I guess. I haven't seen him on Rogan in a minute, but he was good. And they're good together. And anybody that can improv on a level of Harlan Williams is okay in my book, at least in that regard. I started listening to Rogan and Segura, but they were just jacking each other off, so I decided to bail on that. And this is going to be a staff pick of mine, but this is that YouTube Saturday Night Live channel I told everybody about that I found, and they put out the season 11 one, which was the season when Lorne Michaels returned. And they did that. Well, he's going to bring in a bunch of actors. And then, of course, they all got fired. But, you know, there's a Robert Downey Jr. And it was sort of an experimental season. I remember if I'm seeing something, I was either at Jeff's house on a Saturday night and we were watching it, or I was at my dad's house. That was sort of the year I stopped going to my dad's every weekend. But that was the season that, and I'll get to it later. But anyway, there's a channel on YouTube that just has like 80 scenes from that season that you can watch clips of. And it's like the first Sam Kinison appearance ever. It was a lot of fun. And he would come on and do these stand-ups. And you know, no one really had seen him. If you didn't have HBO and you didn't see him at the Rodney thing, the Young Comedian special, then you didn't see him. So anyway, that's what I did podcast-wise. I need another good true crime one, Steph. So if you can recommend anything, send it my way.
Yeah, I got to find another series. I haven't had a good series here in a minute, except for Noble's the last one. You know, and of course, I always listen to Dateline and Sword and Scale and all those ones, but they're not whatever. That Tim Dillon's really the only podcast that I listened to this week. And
I listened to that too. I should.
It was great whenever he was saying that we need another 9/11. And they started singing that song, "We need another 9/11. Bring us together."
If you are tired of the same old shit and you live in that world where, you know, people are talking about politics, you have to pay any sort of attention to it or like really ridiculous things in culture, Tim Dillon is the best podcast for that, especially when he doesn't have guests. I like it when he has guests, but when he's just doing his monologue and that goofy producer of his is giggling like a fool, that's my favorite thing to do on a Saturday outside of, you know, family stuff.
Yeah, I had, Tim Allen, he watched that episode of Fear Thy Neighbor that I was talking about, Bullets in the Snow. Mm-hmm. And then I sent him the link for the Tim Dillon podcast where he was talking about it or whatever.
Right.
Did you get to listen to that episode yet, Tim?
No, but I have it ready to go.
Okay.
I won't forget.
Let's see. I listened to last weekend with Theo Von. He had Kevin Smith on.
When did that come out? I didn't see it.
Yesterday.
Yesterday, okay. Yeah.
It was good. It was Kevin, as usual, kind of talked most through the whole thing, which I understand Theo was also kind of under the weather. Kevin had posted like afterwards he was kind of nervous that he kind of talked his, you know, through the whole thing. But then after they got done, Theo was like, I'm glad you did that. I felt like shit today. Kevin was talking about his new movie, the 4:30 movie that just came out, and kind of talking about that. And he was on. It was weird. Ever since Kevin stopped smoking weed, he started drinking. And he started drinking energy drinks.
Oh.
Which is, I don't know. Do you find that odd, Jeff?
Yeah, that's odd.
Yeah. As much as he railed against alcohol in general.
Yeah.
And then Jay used to always drink those energy drinks.
Yeah. Well, didn't he have a heart attack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's he doing with the energy?
I don't know. He had his birthday a few weeks ago, and he had a Hollywood Babylon episode, and he was high on that. He admitted that he smoked before he came out. So I think all that's kind of just kind of come to a head and kind of bleeding away. But it was a good podcast to see Theo and him, two people who are insanely positive about life in general. It was a feel good episode, kind of.
Jeff, you said you didn't listen to anything this week, but you're doing
it. No, I'm still listening to the Dustin Staff pick, the Bobaverse book.
All right. We're going to take a little break and come back with views or snooze, staff picks, and so forth. So stick around.
Meanwhile, over in Conyers, they're still proudly serving East Metro Atlanta, and they have been for 40 years. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is the place to be this fall. Did you hear? We changed it. It's football, cold weather, unless you live in Atlanta. Their featured beer selection this fall is Monday Night Brewing's Oktoberfest. It is a German-style Märzen lager with noble German hops for a subtle bitterness and a smooth, balanced finish. Perfect for the fall. They've got the best gyros, euros, pizza, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Dustin knows he eats there every day. Stop by Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m. and on Saturdays from 12 to 9. They are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. So if Dustin's there that night, you might have a good shot at winning. Their food truck is also available. Just contact Mike at 770-483-6228 for more details or to schedule your event. And Mike says, thanks for listening to the best podcast around and for all your business and continued support. Thank you for all your support to the best pizza place around. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for, dummy? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens since 2005, which is almost 20 years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
So let's read some YouTube comments from our YouTube viewers, if you're all right with that. Roby says, happy birthday, Jeff. That's right, Jeff. How old did you turn this year, 54 or 55?
Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, you're the double nickel. Jesus. So happy birthday, belated Jeff. Roby said, happy birthday, Jeffrey. Radio Labyrinth would not be the same without your quick one-liners and innuendos. You are very sexual, Jeff. But Deeb put a heart underneath that, which I assume is for you. our old pal Mike Diefenbach, who we went to school with and Jeff worked with at a couple different newspapers, wrote Dr. Laps and James Earl Jones must have taken voice and articulation together, which was a class that you could take at our university if you were a communications major. And as we mentioned last week, one of our professors...
His stepdaughter wrote a nice post about it when James Earl Jones died.
Oh, yeah?
Pictures of them together and stuff.
Oh, point me in those. I want to see those. Yeah. But they were roommates in college, James Earl Jones and one of our professors. Velma the Id said, it was Slim Pickens, not Slim Whitman, in Dr. Strangelove. And, of course, that is correct. It was Slim Pickens, not Slim Whitman. But it would have been funny because Slim Whitman could have sang or could have sung Vaya con Dios as the plane was going down. Here's another one from Roby who says, I guess in the end he didn't really matter. Too soon?
Well, Chester.
Yeah, poor Chester. Alan B. wrote, Steph, I watched Fear Thy Neighbor episode. I have to say, I think Jeffrey has the army vet seriously overreacted. He really shouldn't have unalived himself. I bet the whole neighborhood would have been more than happy to help him with a cover-up.
I swear to you, if the HOA doesn't have a statue of him out in front of the neighborhood now, I just can't even believe it.
Also, Mike Diefenbach said Jack White's new shit is true to form, by the way, and that probably means it's good. Fuxi said, just rewatched Soul Man, a movie we were talking about last week. Interesting movie. Some parts were actually funny. Other parts were really off and bad. It also tried to have a message at the end. Redeeming qualities. The beautiful Ray Dong Chong, Tommy Chong's daughter. Remember that old bit, that old Chris Rock from when he first started? Ray Dong Chong, Ray Dong Chong. Is she black or what?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Anytime I think of Ray Dong Chong, all I can do is picture her in the color purple going, I'm fixing to sing.
Also, the talented James Earl Jones, James B. seeking as the asshole father, and Spike Lee hated it. Of course he hated it.
His views.
Or.
Snooze.
Snooze. And we're back.
We are back. Time for views or snooze, Jeff. Go ahead.
Last week was Jost and Che After Dark. It was a stand-up show. That was not what I was expecting, but it was good. They had a bunch of guests on there and stuff.
I was not impressed.
Tulsa Gang. I liked the, like, when Sal Volcano came out and stuff, but the comedians weren't that great.
That's what I...
The Old Man and Tulsa King were all the time. I watched both of those. This week, Agatha All Along starts on Disney+. This is the spinoff of The Scarlet Witch Show.
In WandaVision. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. WandaVision, yeah.
Man, it's a views for me.
Yeah, it's a views for me. And then Monsters, the Lionel and Eric Menendez story comes on Netflix. I know Steph's going to watch this.
Oh, you know I am.
Dumped all at once or serialized?
It's Netflix, so it's probably come out all at once.
I got to watch this.
I'm going to start the Aaron Hernandez thing this weekend.
Yeah, that looks good, too. And The Penguin starts on HBO Max.
Is this in the Batman universe or no?
This is based on that last Batman movie with Robert Pattinson.
Okay.
Where Colin Farrell's the Penguin.
Will Batman be in it?
No, I don't think so. I'm still going to watch it. It's the views for me.
Looks awesome.
Yeah, and at least it's a guy.
Yeah.
Like the Penguin has always been. All right. So that's two views for me and one snooze. Yeah, cool. Staff picks. My staff pick. I guess I did this one already, but I'm going to do it again. Everything you need to know about Saturday Night Live Season 11. And that is on YouTube on the Everything You Need to Know About SNL podcast, video podcast. That's a season that I have memories of, but not as much as I have prior to or after. For some reason, I don't remember why. If I happened to see it, I was either at my dad's or at Jeff's house watching it because we would stay up and watch SNL. But that's the season with Anthony Michael Hall, Randy Quaid, Robert Downey Jr., Joan Cusack, and Terry Sweeney, and a lot of those people got fired. The only people that they kept, well, who they kept? They kept Nora Dunn, and they kept John Lovitz.
Lovitz, yeah.
And there was a scene, here's something I don't remember. They did a fake movie trailer for a film called The Critic, and it was played by John Lovitz.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like the cartoon, of course. But I just thought that was interesting. I didn't remember that. That's my staff pick. Check it out if you're an SNL fan, especially the 80s.
Mine is Nothing But a Good Time, the uncensored story of the 80s hair metal. It's a documentary on Prime.
Oh.
It's got three episodes to it.
I just interviewed Jeff Tremaine. Yeah, Jeff Tremaine was one of the co-creators of Jackass and the things, and he did that Dirt movie. Based on the Motley Crue book. So I spoke with him. That interview will come out in a couple of weeks on the podcast. I like the proper use of the umlaut over the Nothing But a Good Time, but yeah, I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, I want to see it.
Mine is Outlast on Netflix. It's not as good as Alone, but it's one of those survival kind of shows. And the rule of this one is to win, you have to be part of a team.
Mm-hmm.
So they have like 10 or 15 people, and then some people get kicked out of the tribe or whatever, and they have to go to a different group and be like, hey, can I please join your group? And they don't, if they say no, you basically get kicked off the show.
Oh.
But it's weird because I would like find one person that I could really trust and then be like, hey, at the end, let's just you and me be a team.
Mm-hmm.
And take, because the prize is $1 million.
Oh, so wow.
Take $500,000 each. If you're on a team of like five or six people, why wouldn't you just go to one person and be like, hey, at the end, we'll just run ahead of everybody and take $500,000 each.
Yeah, be a way to do it.
Yeah. I don't know why anybody hasn't thought of this. The second season is on Netflix now. So it's just weird. Nobody's thought of that.
Well, now you've given them the plan, so
from you and you'll never get a dime.
Mine is of course it's a true crime. It's on Max. It's called The Real Murders on Elm Street. It's a series. There's two episodes they've dropped so far. I think there's four more that are going to be airing that comes out each week. Every single murder happened on Elm Street. And some of them coincide with different Elm Streets, all in the same story. Like the courthouse,
that's weird,
was on Elm Street. The police, whatever headquarters, was on Elm Street. The murder happened on Elm Street. They caught the guy on Elm Street. I mean, it's just like, it's wild. So it's really good. It has, you know, interviews with the detectives and very graphic.
All the murders were done by Freddy Krueger?
No.
No, but everybody was the bastard son of a thousand screaming lunatic.
No,
you could have one of those in Atlanta. Just call it The Real Murders on Peachtree Street.
Yeah, because there's a shit ton of them, that's for sure. But anyway, it's called The Real Murders on Elm Street, and it's on Max. And they also have another thing, too, is that new Wonderland Murders series. Yeah, they put like two episodes out so far, and they're doing those every week. And that is hard. I'm going to tell you guys, I watch a lot of true crime. We all know that. They don't blur anything. When they show the video of them going through that house after the murders, really, you straight up see the bodies laying there, all bashed up. I mean, it was like, even for me, I was like,
You get to see John Holmes.
I'm sure Amber will love it.
You get to see John Holmes's cock.
They just show show the detectives watching the porn movies.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, they were
research
infiltrating. Yes, and they said that was the one class nobody ever missed it. Like, they fought to get seats for that class.
Yeah. That was a pretty big hog.
Johnny Watt.
Dick Man and Throbbin, one of the best movies ever made. All right, thank you guys. Let's do some plugs. I do a show every Monday in the audio feed for the Radio Labyrinth podcast called Trambles. This week it was just me doing a character that I made up, and I thought it was fun. You may not have liked it, but I don't care. Well, I do care if you hate it, tell me, because I won't do it if you hate it. I'm that kind of person. I'm so easily manipulated that I will not do something if even one person hates it. But I thought it was fun. It was all stream of consciousness. I also do a radio show every Saturday night, except during football season. It's sporadic, and right now it's football season. Go Dogs, called The Popcast. And I just put out a bonus podcast episode today. I interviewed John Zoller again, who is the executive director over at Exhibit Atlanta. or Exhibition Atlanta, where they're currently doing the Titanic experience, where you get to, they put you in virtual reality situations. You get to see a couple of props from the movie, but you actually get to see real artifacts from the Titanic, and they walk you through everything. It's like a 90-minute experience that you go through. And I've always been fascinated by the Titanic. And I had him on, and we talked for about an hour, and I got to see some actual artifacts.
Did he draw you like one of his French girls?
He did. I laid down in the back over here.
You should go to the experience. It was a lie. I loved it. It was great.
You did go to it. Coming up this week on the show and eventually as a podcast, I'm interviewing comedian Leanne Morgan again, if you know who that is. She's a funny person. Didn't get really famous until she was older, but she's a mom. I think even a grandma. She's a sweet Southern lady. She's going to be in Atlanta doing a book tour. And actually, she's going to be at Decatur First Baptist Church on the 25th, which is next Wednesday, if you're in Atlanta and you like her. And she's going to be doing a book signing there, so you can check her out. Also going to be possibly maybe, I have the Jeff Tremaine interview. That'll be coming out soon. And also possibly maybe interviewing one or both of the creators of an animated show that came out in the early 2000s called Mission Hill.
And I do remember that song.
Yeah, right.
I do remember it.
They're bringing it to town at the Terra Theater. You'll be able to watch it. It's Josh Weinstein and Bill Oakley. And I think both of them have written for a ton of animated shows.
Yeah, Josh Weinstein was one of the creators of Freaks and Geeks, too.
Yeah. So I don't remember the show. I know that I watched a couple episodes, so it's going to be embarrassing unless I do my research and watch all of it by Friday, which won't happen. So we'll see if that happens or not. it's called The Popcast. If you're looking for a gift for somebody and you don't really care about them all that much, you could get them a cameo where I just do a voice or myself, and you tell me a little bit about them and what you want me to say, and I'll do it. You just go to the Cameo app and look for Tim Andrews ATL. And if you're on the iPhone, don't use the iPhone. Just go to the browser, because it'll be better for everybody, is all I want to say. Hey, if you like this Radio Labyrinth podcast and you're watching on YouTube and it's your first time here and you've made it this far, like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. It's very important. Leave a comment. We'll read your comment. If it's good and not mean, we'll read it. And make sure that you turn on your alerts so you know when it comes out. And share it with your friends. It's real simple. That's the best, way to get the word out if you like it. Put it out there to other people and go, hey, you're old fart. Here, watch this and listen to this. And you can also, if you're out there and you're just a listener and you listen on one of your favorite podcatchers, just go to YouTube, sign in, click subscribe, and then you can just go about your business. We just need the subscribers. So tell everybody about it. As Billy Joel once said, tell her about it. If you'd like to become a Patreon member and have access to our weekly Patreon-only show, which is going to be short this week, given the time. No, I don't know. We might not do that. I wouldn't short anybody. Go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Sign up at any level. If you'd like to be a producer, that is $25 a month, and you get credit each and every week on screen, and we read your name out. And you'll also get a T-shirt from our T-shirt store and some drawings. Printout of drawings where I'll do a sketch or a doodle for you, and I'll send that to you in the mail. And right now I want to thank our executive producers, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith. Thank you all very, very much for your support. If there's not anything else, awesome. All right, guys, until next week, please remember to
Keep it canon.
Well, what do you say? All good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the Radio.